You know, we've been going through this letter of Colossians, with the exception of the 2 weeks of Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, since the 14th of January, believe it or not, folks. So we're doing it in little chunks. And this morning, it's an even smaller part than we sometimes have. And as we've mentioned a number of times before, this letter to the Colossians can indeed be viewed in two separate ways. The first two chapters deal with doctrine, Paul encouraging the believers in the truths, the eternal truths of the gospel message. And if you haven't read this letter right through, I would encourage you to do it. It wouldn't take you too long, just maybe half an hour, three quarters of an hour, depending on how fast you read. And so take time to read it, or even take time to read a little bit at a time and let the word of God sink into you. Because in those first two chapters, there is so much. We find that there is hope found in Christ. We find the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ, and that we are now reconciled to Christ, and that we continue to live and grow in Christ. So it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. In him, of him, and to him. But then there was that change at the start of chapter 3. And the thing is, of course, that we cannot divorce the two halves of this letter, because they complement each other. One is useless without the other. And so Paul now moves to how the Colossians can work out their faith, as it says elsewhere in Scripture, in fear and trembling. How they can follow the ways and be able to put aside their previous life. Putting off, as it says in the first few verses of chapter 3, putting off the deeds of darkness and putting on the cloak of righteousness. That love and that peace of Christ. And when that is in their lives, then there is that relationship that is built up within the fellowship of believers. So they relate to Christ and they relate to one another. And that is still must be true for us today. And then in this next section of this letter, Paul deals with two aspects of life where, if we're honest, our Christian faith can be really challenged. And that's in the home and in the workplace. Places where we cannot hide what we're really like. And although these principles were written down 2,000 years ago, I believe they still apply to us today. These 9 verses are so packed full of things that we need to listen to God about, that we are indeed dealing with it in over two weeks. And next week, Pete will be looking at Christ in the workplace, whereas this morning we're looking at Christ in the home. How do we work out our practical Christian faith in the home environment? So that Paul gives these guidelines. And he spends that little bit more time in his letter to the Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, just turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll just read the section, starting at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of one body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. A profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wives must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so these two passages that Paul writes, one to the Colossians and one to the Ephesians, really complement each other and bring them together. But it's important that we look at what was said beforehand. In Ephesians chapter 5, immediately before Paul says this about wives submitting to the husbands, he writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here in Colossians, in just a few verses prior to what we read this morning, it says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So it should be our love and our reverence for the Lord that is the motivation for stable family life. As we submit to the Lord, so we submit to one another. And as we love the Lord, so we love one another. And we put on these things and we operate under that umbrella of love. And so it should. It should be through her love of her husband that the wife recognizes him, as it says in Ephesians, as head of the church, as head of the household. And it's because of her love of the Lord that she willingly and consents to do this. As a Christian wife, she has already recognized Jesus as her Lord, as Lord of her life, and therefore she is willing to serve the Lord in whatever way she can. And that includes the family situation. And that will be in the home. That will be towards her husband, towards her children. Because, as we read in Genesis, God created man first and then woman. And God has put that order in place. Because, not because the woman needs to be subservient, but because she needs the love and the protection that the husband can bring. So that's the God-given order. And so this principle, as it says here, of the wife submitting to the husband, is something that is poo-pooed and discounted by the vast majority of people today. They'll say it's irrelevant. It doesn't apply to our life and our lifestyles these days. But it does. You see, we need to read what it says. Because it says, wife, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. And so many people hone in on these and on that verse and in the verse in Ephesians 5. And say, as I said just now, oh, that's not relevant for today. That's old-fashioned. That doesn't apply. and they hone in on that verse. But they completely ignore what the following verse says. Colossians says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So here is a place where that agape love, that sacrificial love that Christ shows for his church that we read about in Ephesians, it's here that the husband shows, or should endeavour to show, that agape love. Because husbands don't get off lightly in this scenario at all. And in fact, many people have recognised that Paul spends twice as many words talking about the responsibilities of the husband compared to the responsibility of the wife. It's a tremendous challenge. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. So there's no place in a Christian marriage for physical or mental abuse or controlling influences. These things should not happen. Husbands, love your wives, it says in Ephesians, in the same way that Christ loved the church. So it's a sacrificial love. It's a love that wants to put the needs of his wife, the husband put the needs of his wife first. Willing to sacrifice things for her. Willing to promote her, to make sure that she's well cared for and protected, to promote her well-being, and to show his love in the way he cares for her. You see, it's interesting when we read what it says in Ephesians 5, it goes on to say that the husband will leave, the man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. And that's what it says here in Ephesians as well. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so, just as Christ left the glories of heaven to make his church his bride, so the husband leaves his home and goes to take up residence with his wife to make her his bride. You see, we cannot and we must not separate these two obligations. They are, as it says in Ephesians, a profound mystery. And we struggle, if we're honest, to really bring these into practice. And sadly, we know that there is a breakdown, even in Christian marriages. And in those situations, the injured parties must not be criticised or looked down on, but instead reached out to in love within the fellowship of believers. And as I say, it's vital that we don't separate these two obligations of wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives, so that there is that mutual love, so that there is that mutual living together as a Christian husband and wife, faithful to each other and faithful to the Lord. It's not easy to stand here and bring this message, but it's a message that we all need to hear. And then Paul moves on to the next relationship within the family bond of children obeying their parents. Notice what it says, "For this pleases the Lord." And again, we need to remember that these guidelines, these helpful hints to living the Christian life within the family, are there for our benefit. They're there, as it says in verse 14 of Colossians 3, "The virtues of love, which binds us together in perfect unity." So it should be that love within the family relationship, within the children-parent, parent-children relationship, that binds them together. It says that children should obey their parents. And that's easy to say, isn't it? But we need to remember that although our society has changed, when Paul wrote this, children had no rights at all. They weren't even recognized as a gift of God, because that's what each child is, a gift of God. But we need to remember that this is still helpful for our society today. I'm sure every one of us who here who's a parent has gone through that scenario of saying to the child, "Do this," and you immediately get the response, "Why?" Who's all had that? And quite often our response is, "Because I said so." But it needs to be more than that. We need to try and take time and explain why. You see, we can see that there are dangers that the child may not see. Because as parents, we have a duty to try and keep them safe and secure. So we can see dangers. Dangers about how to cross the road. Dangers about keeping away from hot surfaces and boiling water. And the need to have a routine in the home so that homework can be done, so that there is time also for play, but also too to have that stability of a bed of a time when children go to bed. And again, we've all been in the situation where you put the child to bed and 5 minutes later they're down the stairs saying, "I can't sleep," or "I don't want to go to bed yet." And so you go up the stairs again. Sometimes two or three times, if we're honest with ourselves. But it's what the child needs to keep them secure. There are a number of times in the book of Proverbs where it encourages children to listen to the words of their parents. And I've lost my marker, but never mind. I know where it is. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland of grace, a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck." And then again, listen in Proverbs 4, "Listen, my sons, to your father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I will give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teaching." And there are others as well that we can find in Proverbs that remind us as Christian parents the responsibility that we have to share the word of God with our children. But even when we do that, there is so much, as there has been down through the ages, but I would perhaps say more often than it is now, there's so much peer pressure on youngsters that doing what your parents say is seen as uncool. And it's so easy for people, children of all ages, to be led off on other paths away from the Lord. You see, and it's because I believe there has been that breakdown of family structure that we see so much violence and disrespect for authority today. You see, and even within those who are brought up in the Christian home, there will be those who go off on their own path. I mean, neither of our two children are walking with the Lord just now. But we need to endeavour to keep that door open. We need to endeavour, if they do choose to follow the way of the prodigal, to keep, like that father, standing there waiting for them to return. And so we need to be in constant prayer for our children, both those who know and love the Lord and for those at this point who don't, and have the trust and belief that God will answer our prayers. The fifth commandment, as is quoted in Ephesians and in Exodus, says, honour your father and mother, that it may go well with you. The only command with a promise. Only command with a promise. And so, children of all ages, if we're 30, 40, 50, 60, and our parents are still alive, we still need to honour them. And so the flip side of that coin is the responsibility of parents. Of fathers, don't embitter your children. Or as it says in Ephesians 6, don't exasperate them. How easy is it to do that? How easy is it for us? You know, I mean, I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else here this morning, because I know my own failings. You know, as parents, it's no good us telling our children how to behave. You know, not use bad language. Don't shout or bang doors if we're guilty of it ourselves. Proverbs 22 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn to it. And that's perhaps when we look at the parable of the prodigal son and read that verse. That's for those of us who are in that situation where our child has chosen a different path to follow, a path away from the Lord. And so we can take hope and comfort from these words that one day, just like the prodigal, they will return. They may not be under our own roof anymore, but we need to continue to pray and reach out to them. And so this morning, we have these few words of Paul to help us in the relationships in our family between husbands and wives, being children and parents. And we need to remember to have that umbrella of love covering over our family relationships. These words speak into our family relationships. And we need to have that reverence for Christ as we work them out. And to have that love of Christ as we show and share it with one another. So these four verses challenge every single one of us in our relationships, in the family circle, as is fitting to the Lord, to love. Don't be harsh, don't embitter, but encourage and do not discourage. Let's pray. Father God, we come and we realize our own unworthiness. Father, I'm challenged by these words. And I'm challenged as a leader of this church, where it says in your word that those in leadership, their children should be seen to be obeying them, to be walking with the Lord. And yet, we see it in so many situations that that does not happen. And we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord as we seek to build and perhaps rebuild family relationships so that Jesus will be the center of each and every one of them. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.